Lilies of the Field, written by Raven, Single Crow, read by Jebby Lip. So, how's life now you're sleeping with Simon? Cordelia asked. Alice glanced at her, looked down at the cup in her hands, and sighed. Really, Cordelia, I miss you terribly when you're on Sergiar. And then, you make remarks like that one, and I remember why your absences are not quite an unbearable trial to me. Cordelia merely grinned and reached for a water biscuit off the tray. That's not an answer. Alice sighed again. Cordelia. That's an evasion. Simon is... Alice paused and softened. Simon is a good man, of which you're well aware. Cordelia nodded. I am, but he might be a good man the whole day long and still not make you smile like that. She stretched out a little and kept on grinning under Alice's disapproving gaze. How is Count Vorkosigan? Alice asked, effortlessly changing the subject. He's out in the district, isn't he? Cordelia nodded. Errol's doing fine, I'm sure, dealing with all the disputes that have built up in his absence, but he's in his element doing that. I wanted to go out there with him, but... She patted the crutch next to her. I suspect I'd have been more of a hindrance than a help. Lots of walking around to be done, and I can't quite manage that yet. Alice peered down at the second crutch laid out on the floor, her curiosity masked by her manners. Are you quite sure you don't need extra help? I'm sure I could arrange something. Cordelia waved a hand. I'm fine, Alice. Really, I am. I've had a room made up on the ground floor, and I have Pim to look after me. And it's not as though I have small children to chase around anymore. It's funny, she went on reflectively. I had years in the astronomical survey, not to mention surviving the regency, and I'm defeated by a flight of stairs. Was it very bad? Alice asked, concerned. Not at all, Cordelia grimaced. Clean break, nothing to worry about, which is why my physician took the opportunity to go all purist on me and demand I let the bones knit at their own pace. Alice looked unconvinced, so she added, I broke the same bone in the same place once before, when I was much younger. Apparently, regeneration at the molecular level is not recommended twice. Alice smiled a little. Well, if you do need any help, you know where I am. If you need any extra errands to be run for you, you can send Ivan. Cordelia grinned. Poor Ivan. My boys are both safely off-world, luckily for them. Thank you, Alice. It's not a problem. Alice stood up. But I should be taking my leave, Cordelia. I've already spent too much time away. I don't like being away from the residence too long. I still think Gregor and Lysa should elope, Cordelia said. Cordelia, Alice said, you say these things just to antagonize me. No, don't get up. Cordelia did anyway, getting to her feet slowly and limping her way to the door. I feel like an old woman. Goodbye, Alice. Look after yourself, Cordelia, Alice said sincerely and floated out. There had been times, Cordelia thought, when the post-dawn hour at Vorkosigan House had seemed like the center of the world. The Lord Regent would be running to the residence, often with Gregor in tow. Miles would be getting up and beginning his day's havoc. Armsman Yankowski would be doing drills. Koo would be in the library getting started on the paperwork. And the household would be shifting in the gear to prepare for whatever grand event would take place in the evening, complete with glittering guests and silverware, and underneath, the sharp edges of political agenda. And she herself, an epicenter for the chaos sometimes, and at other times a gleeful part of the dizzy whirl. Cordelia shook her head and sighed. She had her groats and honey, she had her hand viewer, Pim could come in to give her something to lean on if she needed to get up for anything. It was an opportunity to catch up on paperwork. She took a deep breath, called up the latest reports on the internal matters of the Chaos Colony proto-legislature, and began. 20 minutes later, she'd called Pim to bring around the ground car, and another 15 minutes after that, she was hobbling into the Imperial residence, nodding at the Emperor's armsmen as they schooled their expressions into dim implacability. The Emperor's secretary, doubtless also with training in maintaining a lack of any expression whatsoever, said, "Countess Farkosigan, the Emperor will have some time in about half an hour if you'd care to wait." "I'd care to wait," Cordelia said firmly, and sat down in the nearest wing chair. Gregor looked tired when he appeared, and she felt an unsurprising burst of maternal feeling, but he brightened at the sight of her. "Cordelia," he said cheerfully, "they didn't tell me who was waiting to see me. I'm glad it's you, and not yet another count wanting to talk to me about grain subsidies. I was about to have lunch. Join me?" "Of course," she said, and consented to taking his arm and letting him help her down towards the dining room, sunlit and airy. He pulled back the curtains and opened the windows, letting in the breeze. "Your armsmen all looked a little constipated on my way in," Cordelia said, as he helped her sit down. Gregor Scheff, though not Ma Kosti, was quite capable of putting together a pretty, light spread, and the sandwiches and little cakes seemed very appealing after her lonely breakfast at Borkosigan House. "Can't leave their posts," he said, still cheerfully, but they were all well brought up and thought they ought to help the lady with the crutches. "Speaking of which," he waved at the offending items, "how did you come by those? I only heard you'd had an accident of some sort." "Fell down the stairs," she said irritably. "More accurately, I fell over one of those dratted cats of Miles's. They're lovely things when you're not hurling head first towards a stone floor." "Ouch," said Gregor, with genuine sympathy, but still with that note of determined happiness beneath it, and Cordelia grinned. "Being in love suits you, sweetheart," she said, and kept on grinning as Gregor blushed. "How is Laisa?" "She's wonderful," Gregor said, and Cordelia suppressed the urge to ruffle his hair. "Was this a social call, or can I do anything for you?" he asked, and poured her some coffee. Cordelia nodded. "Gregor, you have to give me something to do." "I'm afraid I don't understand." "Yes, you do." Cordelia reached for his hand. "Errol is away in the district, which leaves me at something of a loose end. Things had begun to pile up down there, and Miles is too busy at the moment to act as his father's voice. But what with my little accident, I couldn't go, and dealing with the politics of Chaos Colony isn't something you can do from afar. Too complex, too messy." She paused for breath. "I'm sure Alice would give me seating charts to pore over if I asked her. Or, maybe she wouldn't. She wouldn't trust me as far as she could throw me on those. But I need something real to do before I go out of my mind with boredom." "Ah," said Gregor, delicately reaching for a sandwich. "What sort of scale of problem did you have in mind? The problem of why three of the residence waitstaff have taken their annual holiday at the same time, causing, I am informed, no end of trouble for the kitchens? Or the problem of why the Kamar and Soleta array has possibly, we're not sure, been sabotaged?" "You've sent Miles and Lord Auditor Vorthas to see about that, dear," she said, with a smile at his disingenuous look. "And as for the waitstaff, find out from their records if they're related even distantly, and if so, if there's been a wedding in the family." "I will, at that," Gregor said approvingly. "I think I know the right problem to place at your feet. Tell me, have you ever heard of the Kamal?" Cordelia frowned. "A ship, wasn't it? A colony ship?" Gregor nodded. "It's a mainstay of Barayaran education. How the first colonists arrived here, long before the time of isolation. Did you know there are still artifacts of the ship in existence?" Cordelia raised her eyebrows. "From hundreds of years ago? Are there really? Why hadn't I heard this before?" "I'm the Emperor," Gregor said mildly, "and I didn't know it until just recently. I was informed of it by Dr. Toscane the Elder, whom, it would seem, has advanced degrees in ancient Barayaran history. People never do fail to surprise me.
Me too, Cordelia said. What are these artifacts?
Just scraps of metal, I'm told, Gregor said, greatly distorted by the heat of re-entry. Dr. Toscane is very interested in seeing them, however, when the family returned for the wedding, and it's proving more difficult to arrange than I'd anticipated, which is where you come in.
How can I help?
The scraps of metal in question are in private ownership, which is why they're not common knowledge, Count Vercini being rather a recluse and very resistant to any thought of donating these crucial pieces of this world's history to, say, a public museum where everyone could see them. Gregor's voice was perfectly even.
But I haven't given up on persuading him to lend them out.
Just so Dr. Toscane can see them, you understand, and then we'd return them unharmed to their owner. My staff's attempts at persuasion have so far fallen on deaf ears. Yours, on the other hand.
You could just issue an imperial order, Cordelia said, amused.
I think that would be a sledgehammer to crack a nut, Gregor said. Not to mention abuse of my power to impress my mother-in-law, and besides, I'm sure you can charm him into it. Would you try? It would give you some employment, and it would be doing me a great favor.
She nodded. I can't make promises, but I'll give it a try.
Gregor smiled. In the meantime, are you sure you don't want a floater like they use in Quadi space? I'm sure IMSEC have one somewhere in a cupboard marked miscellaneous.
Thank you, but no, thank you, Cordelia said, amused. I will be just fine. If you'll help me up,
he did, leaning down to give her an arm, I'll leave you to your grain subsidies.
If you must, Gregor said, matching her amusement, and saw her out.
Perhaps you shouldn't think of this as a task set by the Bariaran Imperium, Count Vercini, Cordelia was saying, but merely as doing a favor to a young man on his wedding day. But it was too late, and the armsmen were gently leading her out of the room and down the steps, suggesting she take a moment to enjoy the gardens and wishing her a safe flight home. Cordelia sighed, starting down the pathway to where Pym had landed the air car, leaning heavily on her crutches, thinking.
No luck, m'lady? Pym asked as she approached, moving to pop the canopy, but Cordelia waved a hand to stop him.
No luck, she said, sighing, but I think I am going to take the very kind count's very kind advice and take a walk around the garden and ponder how I'm going to change his mind. Would you mind waiting for a few minutes longer?
Of course not, m'lady.
Pym took a step back and watched her go, waiting to see if she was managing on her own before he went around to the other side of the air car and let himself back in.
I'm being mothered, Cordelia muttered under her breath,
and resigning herself to it, took a proper look at the garden. The house was set on a gentle incline, the ground curving down towards the water. From below, Cordelia could hear the low rumble of the sea. The Vercini's district was several hundred kilometers south of Vorbar Sultana, and spring was already well advanced here, flowers rising with a tropical intensity of color from the rich, well-watered soil. Cordelia breathed in the scent and felt the muscles in her shoulders unknotting in the sunshine. Worth the trip, at least, she said, still to herself, and then had to catch herself as she misjudged one of the crutches on the gravel and swore. After a moment to get her breath, she limped slowly in the direction of a wrought iron bench sitting between the neat enclave of trees.
Oh, wait, you're hurt, said the voice. If you just wait, I'll call one of my armsmen. Are you sure you're all right?
Cordelia couldn't turn to see the speaker. I'll be fine, she said. Just let me get to the bench. Another moment's stiff concentration, and she made it with an inelegant thump, just in time to see the girl step out from behind a tree. Cordelia guessed her age to be around 19 or 20, and she was standing with her head up in a way somehow reminiscent of the tulips on their stems. Cordelia guessed she might have found the guiding hand behind this garden.
I don't think we've met, she said, returning the girl's smile.
Lady Alessandra Vercini, said the girl easily. Are you here to see my father?
Oh, Cordelia said, feeling a little stupid.
I didn't realize the Count had a daughter.
Most people don't, said Alessandra, still easily casual, and came to sit down next to her.
What happened to your foot?
Alice would probably have lectured her on unmannerly curiosity, but Cordelia smiled.
I fell over a cat, and then down some steps.
Alessandra made a face.
It sounds painful.
It was mostly embarrassing, Cordelia admitted. And yes, I was here to see your father.
Oh, are you the lady who was arguing with him a while ago about the fragments from the Kamal?
That's right, Cordelia said. You know about those? Alessandra nodded.
I don't know why he doesn't give them to a museum.
Probably because he's a cantankerous old man. Off Cordelia's look, she added, he's my da. I'm allowed to say that.
That's quite fair.
You think I'm too young to be his daughter, Alessandra said, shrewdly. He was married before my ma, but she died. And then my ma died too, but I was a replicator birth, so here I am. Cordelia felt a small prick of pride at that. Such gentle lack of self-consciousness. I was a replicator birth, and said, I'm sorry to hear your mother's no longer with us.
It was a long time ago, Alessandra said. And then stopped, looking more closely at Cordelia, an unreadable expression on her face.
Are you Countess Vorkosigan?
Yes, said Cordelia, surprised. I'm sorry, my dear. Have we met after all?
We haven't been introduced, Alessandra said, a little confusedly. But when I was 17 and my da finally let me go to the capital with him, there was a winter fair ball for all the Count's daughters. Because I hadn't got my ma, Lady Alice Warpatrol looked after me, and she pointed you out to me.
Cordelia remembered a number of such balls, usually held for Alice to keep track of young foreign maidens who could be potential empresses, and smiled inwardly.
I think I recall.
Alessandra nodded, and her gaze sharpened. Lady Alice said you were half-Baton.
Ah, Cordelia said. I think you may be confusing me with my sons. I'm wholly Baton, they're half.
Something lit in her expression. Countess Vorkosigan, if you can do something for me, I'll persuade my father to lend you those ship fragments. I'll give you my name's word on it.
My dear, Cordelia said slowly, that's quite something you're committing to there. Even if you could persuade him, what would you have me do?
Alessandra looked down.
There's this boy.
Ah, Cordelia said, a little indulgently, and Alessandra suddenly lifted her head and met Cordelia's gaze.
He's the son of Count Vorfaren, she said clearly, in the next district over.
Ah, Cordelia said, smiling. And you like him?
We're going to be married, she said, matter-of-factly.
Cordelia waited, still appreciating the dappled sunshine and shade, as the silence stretched out.
But what, dear?
But I had plans, Alessandra said, with some difficulty. There were things I wanted to do.
Cordelia nodded. What sort of things?
I have all these ideas about, you know, how to improve agriculture here, and I want to study, maybe terraforming.
Bigger gardens in her head than this one, Cordelia thought. And my da hasn't any close relatives, so there's only me to learn things for the district. I have real things to do.
Another long pause. Cordelia waited.
Countess Vorkosigan, Alessandra said, the words spilling out. Can you help me get a contraceptive implant?
Cordelia blinked. Lady Alessandra, while I live on Barriar, I'm subject to the same constraints as you are, perhaps more. I'm not sure you understand what a difficult thing it is you're asking.
Please, Alessandra said, painfully sincere, if you get me the implant, on my word as Forcini, I will persuade my father to lend you those ship's fragments.
Well then, Cordelia said, smiling, I will try my best.
Countess Vorkosigan, Dr. Srivastava said, frustrated. I'm not sure you understand what a random trial actually is. If, as you suggest, we take this girl and place her in the group, it's no longer, by its very nature, a random trial. Cordelia sighed and made the decision. Let's try this again, she said. I'm going to go outside. She did, going slowly because of the crutches, leaving the door open, and come back in again, and I'm going to say, Hello, you must be Dr. Srivastava. And you're going to hold out your hand for me to shake. Hold out your hand for me to shake. He did. You'll smile and nod and ask, And you are? And I'll say, Hello, I'm Captain Cordelia Naismith of the Baton Astronomical Survey. He took a step back and withdrew his hand, looking a little stunned. You're a captain in the Astronomical Survey? Are you really not Countess Vorkosigan? I'm that, too, she said tiredly, and sat back down. In truth, Dr. Srivastava, I haven't been a scientist in 30 years. But let's assume, shall we, for the sake of argument, that I understand the nature of a double-blind clinical trial. He had the grace to look embarrassed. Stepping away from her, he drew the curtains. It was a bright day outside, if wintry and cold, and the pretty architecture of the university district was set off in sharp outlines against the cool blue sky. Would you like something to drink, Captain Naismith? Tea would be lovely, she said, and he took his time over brewing it, carefully, with cup and samovar and fragrant green leaves. Again, from the beginning, she said, slowly, after she'd taken a sip. If you do as I ask, you'll bring this girl in. You'll make an assessment of her health. He nodded. I see. No, you don't, she said. You'll make the necessary alterations to bring her into the basic parameters of the control group, and then you'll thank her for her time and send her home. She will not be in the control group or the experimental group. Your data will not be interfered with. Do you see? Dimly, he said, with a faint sardonic aspect to his voice. Good. You're using Baton standards, aren't you? Yes. But I still don't understand. You wouldn't, she said, and sipped her tea. Look, Dr. Srivastava, I need an answer from you. I don't have any right to make demands, but if you do what I ask, you will be, in a way, doing a generous favor to the Baryarn Imperium. And the Imperium will, of course, make good any additional expenses you might incur. My funding comes from Beta Colony, and the marginal cost would be tiny, Dr. Srivastava said, sounding amused. The Imperium can rest easy on that account. Cordelia sat up straight. So you'll do it? I'll do it, Captain Naismith, he said, still smiling. Not for the Baryarn Imperium or anything else, mind you. Because it's you asking, I will. I'm sure you have a reason. He stopped, a frown crossing his face. But? He took a long time to answer. Cordelia glanced around the room, taking in the neat piles of notes, the bunch of flowers set in a vase on a shelf, the honeysuckle curling at the edge of the window. The frown softened off Dr. Srivastava's face, leaving a look in part reflective and in part apologetic. Speaking as one Baton to another, he said, neutrally, it can't have been easy for you to have come here and done what you did. Cordelia said nothing, waiting for him to go on. But you are Countess Vorkosigan, and you were the wife of the Lord Regent during the current Emperor's childhood, is that right? That's right, Cordelia said, matching his neutral tone with one of her own. And Count Vorkosigan never had any difficulties because he had chosen a galactic partner? They got used to me, Cordelia said shortly. My wife, he said slowly, my wife has not found it so easy. Your wife is Baryarn, Cordelia said, understanding suddenly. How long have you been married? 2 years, he said. I was here on an exchange program from Beta Colony, and it was rather,
a smile, a whirlwind romance. But her family didn't approve of the match, and my wife doesn't say anything, but I know it hurts her. Cordelia nodded. I think I understand. And her friends, and her sisters even, received invitations for the celebrations surrounding the Emperor's betrothal, and well, she hasn't said anything at all. She doesn't know I know. But, Countess Vorkosigan, my colleagues tell me there's a last ball at the Imperial residence to mark the changing of the season. If you could use your influence, I would like to see her happier. What's your wife's name? Cordelia asked. Lady Primrose Vorloda, he said. She's the daughter of a count. I've never met the man. I gather he spends most of his time in the southern continent. I'll see what I can do, Cordelia said. And in the meantime, I've taken up too much of your time, Dr. Srivastava. It was a pleasure to meet you, he said, helping her up, and she smiled her thanks. One more thing, he asked, as she reached the door. Why do you want me to take a girl into a research study, assess her health, interfere with her body to meet Baton physiological standards, and then forget about her entirely? Ask your wife, Cordelia said, and limped out.
Really, Cordelia, when the seating plan's been completed and the invitations have gone to the engravers? Alice, I wouldn't be asking if it wasn't important, Cordelia said, using her crutches to cross the room in long strides. In a convoluted way, it's what Gregor wants. None of this is anything to do with what Gregor wants. Gregor wants to elope on a jump ship bound for the other side of the galaxy, Alice said, but there was humor in it. Cordelia sighed and reached absentmindedly for one of the sample menus on the table. The words blurred before her eyes. It had been a long day. All right, Alice said, pacing, turning back to her list. Who is this Dr. Srivastava, and who is Lady Primrose? Oh. Oh? Cordelia dropped the menu. Alice? I understand, Alice said slowly, still not looking up from the list. Alice, please tell me that the reason they weren't invited wasn't that she married a galactic. It had been years since Cordelia had taken real offense at such things, but something inside her felt honor-bound in a Baton way to ask. Alice gazed at her steadily. To some extent, she said, the Count doesn't approve of his daughter's marriage. He never was very bright, and keeping him away from the reality of change is the only way to keep his vote. He's a reactionary. If he spends enough time around his Baton son-in-law to definitely take against him, it's a given that he'll express his feelings by splitting off from the progressives. Whose most notable leader in modern times also married a Baton? Cordelia said, and groaned. Quite so. My ankle hurts, Cordelia grumbled, and staggered into a chair. The room would be decorated well in time for the ball. But in the daylight, it looked eerie, Cordelia thought, the rays of sunlight crossing through the dust motes hanging in empty space. You can help reword the invitations while you rest it, Alice said unsympathetically, and sat beside her. Cordelia groaned again. Reword the invitations? Simon was having doubts, Alice said, looking thoughtful. It's going to be market day in the city for more than half the districts, and he thought that Allegre would object to my choosing that date because of security forces being stretched too tight. He hadn't made the objection yet, but I was marshaling arguments. But if we move the date a week later... Yes. Alice tapped a perfectly manicured nail on the edge of a glass. Then we may as well reword the invitations. We'll have to redo everything, including the seating plan, for your Dr. Srivastava and Lady Primrose. Cordelia sat up. What about Count Verlada?
He goes to his district on the first of the month to join the hunt, Alice said. Without fail. So we invite him, but he won't come, and no one else will object. I can save my goodwill with Allegre for another occasion.
Alice, said Cordelia, sincerely,
you're a marvel.
I do my part.
Only the faintest quirk of her lips showed she appreciated the compliment.
Oh, another thing, Cordelia.
Yes, Cordelia said, picking up her crutches and getting very slowly to her feet.
If you should see Simon, just tell him that the date of the ball's changed. He'll appreciate knowing, especially before Allegre does.
I will, Cordelia said, but you'll see him before I do, I'm sure.
No, said Alice quietly.
I won't. Cordelia came to a stop, made a careful turn, limped back to her chair, and sat down in it, leaning her crutches against the table.
Tell me, she said.
The old Simon Illion wouldn't have gardened. Cordelia watched him for a while, standing under the spring sun, staring at a rosebush. For a brief moment, she suspected him of talking to it, before realizing that he was methodically checking it for aphids. After a while, she made her way quietly across the garden and settled herself on the grass.
Good morning, Simon, she said, and laid the crutches beside her.
Good morning, Countess Vorkosigan. He turned and smiled and made to take off his gardening gloves, but she waved him away.
Don't stop on my account, she said, and stretched herself out to take in the sun.
And call me Cordelia, Simon. How many times must I tell you?
He smiled. I don't know in what capacity you've come to see me yet, he said mildly, and went back to his rosebush, reaching for some pruning shears by his feet.
As a friend, she said. Errol sends his regards, by the way. He's down in the district.
So I understand. How are you recovering?
He waved in the direction of her injured foot.
Fine, she said. I was bored for a time, what with all the sitting my physician insists on, but between them, Alice and Gregor gave me plenty to do.
Their industry is contagious, Illion said. Set down the shears, and came to sit beside her.
Gregor is happy, I think.
So is Alice. It's something I enjoy seeing.
Me too, Cordelia said honestly.
Gregor, especially, Illion went on. I had to see him every morning for 15 years, give him a security briefing that was never full to the brim with good news, shall we say. It's good to see him happy.
Cordelia nodded. And Alice?
She's busy, Simon said, and she thrives on it. This imperial wedding, it's the logistical nightmare of a lifetime, but I suspect that in some ways she's been looking forward to the challenge all her life.
Cordelia nodded. You know her very well, Simon. It's clear to me how fond you are of her. Now, why have you been ignoring her?
He looked surprised for a moment at the sudden turn in conversation, and then something closed in his expression.
I haven't...
Simon, Alice asked me to ask you why you haven't been spending time with her. Because you haven't been around for her to ask you herself. That's pretty damning, don't you think?
Cordelia, he said, a little helplessly, I really don't want to talk about these matters.
Perhaps. I make you no promises. I'd leave you alone if this were on my own account. But it's not. And besides, I wouldn't want you to throw away what might be, the best thing that's ever happened to you. She smiled at him. Now, tell your Aunt Cordelia.
Simon laughed suddenly.
We're the same age, Cordelia. And it's a clever move of Alice's, setting you on me. She knows you'll never give up.
Simon.
She would have tapped her foot if she'd been standing. As it was, she fixed him with her best disapproving look. For a moment, could you not think like a military strategist and try thinking like a human being? He leaned back, letting the garden wall support some of his weight, and the sun beat down on them both. There was silence for a while. "I still forget things, you know," Simon said mildly. "My short-term memory, as well as my long-term memory, are shot. Over time, I forgot how to have my own brain remember things, and now it seems as though it's too late to learn how again." She nodded. "Alice reminds me when I forget things. She leaves notes for me if she thinks I'm going to forget things. After it happened, I wasn't sure what to do with myself afterwards, and she gave me gardening tools and sheet music and romance novels and a good frying pan, and informed me that she hoped one of them would stick." Cordelia laughed. "That sounds like her. She's a magnificent lady, and it occurs to me she doesn't need someone else to look after in her life. She has Ivan for that, and Gregor, and now Lysa, and the entire imperial household, and the whole city of Vorbar Sultana to some extent or another. She needs someone who can get through a day without help." Cordelia said, "Who are you to tell her what she needs?" He glanced at her. "Cordelia, I thought..." "You thought wrong," Cordelia snapped, and then sighed. "Simon, Alice doesn't need anything. She wants to be needed. She wants to be loved. And she wants you." He said nothing, but Cordelia heard the inward catch in his breath. "And I," she said softly, "and you, and as you mentioned, the entire city of Vorbar Sultana, trust her taste in all things. Why not in this, too?" Simon was still looking directly at her. "What do you think I should do?" "I think you should be honest. I think you should take her out and tell her you think she's a magnificent lady, and feel free to throw in some more adjectives there, too. And then, I think the two of you should go home and fall into bed." Simon smiled wryly. "Cordelia, please never change." "At this late stage, I'm not likely to." Cordelia sighed. "And tell me, what do you want in exchange?" "Exchange?" Simon said, with a flash of devastating vagueness in his eyes, and Cordelia immediately explained about the pre-isolation artifacts, the contraceptive implant, the party invitation, before he could start to think it was something he'd forgotten. At the end of the tale, he was smiling. "So, I get something in return." "Why not?" Cordelia said. "Why the hell not? Would you like another rosebush? An elephant? How about a planet named after you?" Simon was still smiling, but there was an edge to it. "Remind me of something," he said, and the silence hung for a moment, charged with expectation. Cordelia lay down full length on the grass and thought for a moment. "Something happy?" she asked. He nodded. "I don't think," Cordelia said, "it ever works out well, anywhere in the Nexus, where two brothers, or foster brothers, have an age difference so that one of them is 17 while the other is 13. When the brothers in question were Miles and Gregor, it worked out just as badly as you might expect. Gregor was, well, Alice had just decided that the finishing touch he needed on his education was some instruction in dancing. It made sense, I suppose. He was attending diplomatic functions and winterfair balls and all that hoopla about his own birthday a few years before his majority. It made sense he should learn to dance. So she acquired a dance instructor from somewhere, a little old man who taught me to dance back when I was a newly minted lady regent.
so at least I could vouch for him. But Gregor hated it. You know how he gets even now, when faced with some ball or other? He's had 15 years to practice that perfectly expressionless look. Back then, he hated it with a fervor unmuted by experience. But you know Alice. She was determined. The only concession Gregor managed to get out of her was that the dance lesson should take place at Vorkosigan House. So at least it would be home-like, he said, and he didn't have to make an idiot of himself in public in the residence. I thought that was reasonable, so that's what we did. His dance partner was an adorable, plump count's daughter from the southern continent, and I don't doubt her father's vote was sewn up for Errol and the progressives that council season. Now, at that time, it had been a couple of years since Miles had had any surgeries, and he was just coming into his growth and feeling invincible. And he'd been tormenting Gregor for a while, in a proper little brotherly way. And I think he was feeling apologetic, and something about Gregor's dance lessons aroused his sympathy, or something. So there they were, Gregor and this girl, dancing sedately around in the library of the house, and suddenly, the lights went out. It took Imsak a few moments to realize that not only were the lights out, so was all the electricity, including their own private sources. And in the 5 minutes it took for the emergency generator to come online, the Emperor and his lady friend had vanished. We found them 10 minutes later, sitting up in one of the attics, Miles, Gregor, Ivan, and the girl, all eating ice cream stashed there beforehand, and looking very pleased with themselves. Well, especially Miles. And he stayed that way, even as we explained to them exactly how much trouble they were in. The thing that always stuck in my mind, though, was that the amount of trouble they were in was nothing compared to the amount of trouble we were in. Errol was away on Komar, and Imsak had been out in full force because of Gregor. And even though it had only been 10 minutes, the fact did remain that they'd lost the Emperor. You were in charge of them, and I was in charge of Vorkosigan House. So we both ended up standing in front of Alice like naughty schoolchildren, explaining ourselves. And I remember thinking clearly that you were probably trying as hard not to laugh as I was, and hoping that you were. Simon was smiling. Thank you, he said. They sat comfortably on the grass, under the sun's warmth. Countess Vorkosigan, said the man in the Vorbara livery, the Emperor would like a moment of your time. Of course, she said, and followed him, past the rows of mingling people, the dancers, the footmen with their trays of champagne glasses and canapes, out through the terrace doors. It was a soft, thoroughly spring-like night, with pots of night-blooming flowers scenting the air. Gregor, Cordelia called softly, and he turned. So did Miles and Ivan, both sitting on the benches with Gregor. And the dim shadow on the other side must be Lysa, Cordelia realized. Cordelia, Gregor said, making room for her to sit. It's good to see you on your feet again. I never was off them, she corrected him. But not using crutches is very refreshing, it's true. I see you've got a party within a party here, she added, waving at Lysa, who seemed to have been struck with shyness in her presence. Best kind, Miles agreed, and pulled a bottle of wine out from under the bench. Would you like some, Mother? No, thank you, but it's good to know you're remembering your manners, she said tartly, and then relaxed. The warm night air was working on her, too. Gregor, they said you wanted to see me? Oh, just to thank you for the magic you worked on Count Vorcini, Gregor said easily. And Cordelia noted that he, too, was looking soft around the edges, more relaxed than she'd seen him in years. The Imperial Science Institute were delighted beyond measure, and so was I, of course. Thank you very much. It was my pleasure, Cordelia said, standing up and turning to go back to the party. Now, be careful you don't let your Aunt Alice catch you out here. But there was a rustle of terrified movement behind her. Gregor, Alice said, coming through the terrace doors, and Cordelia noticed Lyssa standing up and slipping quietly away. Miles, Ivan, you're supposed to be inside mingling, not sitting out here being antisocial. Alice, Cordelia began, placatingly, but stopped when something changed unexpectedly in Alice's expression. Be back inside in 5 minutes, she said, but without sharpness, and then ruffled Ivan's hair and kissed Miles and Gregor each on the cheek. You're dear, sweet boys, she said, and went back in. There was a long, stunned silence. Maybe she's dying, said Ivan in a strangled voice. Maybe she's happy, said Cordelia, and followed her through the terrace doors. After the relative silence outside, the noise hit her hard, and for a wistful moment, Cordelia wished for her crutches back. With those, she could at least clear a way through the mass of people. As it was, she lingered, wondering whether she could force her way through to a side table and get a drink and something to eat. Countess Vorkosigan, said a high, breathless voice. Cordelia turned around to see a girl in a tulip-red dress. Lady Alessandra, she said, with a genuine smile. It's good to see you. The pleasure is all mine, Alessandra said formally, and then looked around her, glancing over her shoulder before turning back. I can't thank you enough, she said quietly. I don't know how you did it, but oh, thank you. It means so much to me. Impulsively, Cordelia put her arm around the girl's shoulders. Do you see over there, she said, the man carrying the sword stick, surrounded by women? Alessandra nodded, her gaze following Cordelia's pointing finger. Yes. Are they all related? They're the Kadelka girls, and that's their Da, Cordelia said. The fourth sister, Corinne, isn't here tonight, because she's away on Beta Colony for her education. Oh, said Alessandra, a wealth of emotion in her voice. I run a scholarship program for bright girls who want to go off-world, said Cordelia, and I think you should apply for it. Oh, but, Alessandra said, I couldn't possibly. Call me in the morning to discuss it, Cordelia said firmly, and let her go. With a wondering, happy smile, Alessandra disappeared across the dance floor in a rustle of skirts. Cordelia shook her head and thought again about that drink and something to eat. Countess Vorkosigan, said a new, unfamiliar voice. I couldn't help but overhear what you were saying to that young girl. The tone of the voice was disapproving. Cordelia turned to face a tall woman dressed in austere gray, hair drawn back from her face in a style that showed off high cheekbones and large eyes the same shade as the dress. I'm sorry, she said. I don't believe I know. The woman regarded her with a long, cool look. My name is Lady Primrose Verloda, she said. I understand you're a philanthropist. I'm involved with a number of scholarship programs, that's so, Cordelia said, a little baffled, taking refuge in factual formality. Charity, said Lady Primrose, and there was the faintest possible edge to her voice. Cordelia sighed and understood. Lady Primrose, I had the pleasure of meeting your husband a few days ago. He did me a great service. He did? It was a spontaneous answer, not studied. In the moment of relaxation, Cordelia saw some beauty in her face. He did, she said firmly. I was in a difficult quandary, and he was of great assistance. As a token of my regard,
I sent him an invitation for himself and his lady wife to tonight's little gathering. She paused, thought about it, and tossed in the grenade. I thought it the honorable thing to do. Oh, she said, with pink in her cheeks. Cordelia nodded and opened her mouth to say, I know it's hard. Believe me, I know. And I wish I could make it easier for you. And felt the words glance off the surface of this woman's pride even before they were spoken. She said, Lady Primrose, have you ever visited Beta Colony? I have not. Perhaps you should, Cordelia said. I have a suspicion you'd find it interesting. And a liberation. Thank you, Countess for Kosigan, said Lady Primrose. I'll bear that in mind. She drifted away then, offering small apologies, and Cordelia sighed and turned her mind once again to the project of crossing the floor. Countess for Kosigan, said the voice, and she groaned to herself before turning to face whoever it was now. What's a wonderful lady like you doing in a dull place like this? She wheeled around. Errol, she said happily, and let him enfold her. How are you, dear captain? He murmured in her ear. My feet are killing me, and I really want a drink. He grinned into her shoulder. I'll see what I can do. This, Cordelia said, raising her champagne glass in a toast to the stars, is going straight to my head. Good, Errol said. It was quite the military maneuver getting it for you. In the end, I resorted to a surprise attack and grab operation. Thank you, Cordelia said, a little dippily, she thought to herself, but without concern. Gregor, Miles, and Ivan had obeyed orders and gone to mingle, leaving their bench on the terrace empty. It was still deliciously fragrant outside, the night air suffused with blooming jasmine. Errol, Cordelia said presently, what are you doing here? I thought you weren't back until tomorrow morning. I left early, he said. I dealt with absolutely everything I could deal with. I delegated some other things. I made noises about urgent duties in the capital. And I might have mentioned my sadly injured and incapacitated wife, I confess. I was fine, Cordelia said, indignantly. I know you were. He drew her close, and seeing no one about, she kicked off her shoes and put her feet on the bench, half in his lap. I checked in with Gregor just as I was arriving, and tomorrow, after lunch, we break orbit for Sergiar. But right now, his arm around her shoulders tightened, we're all each other's. Out in the garden among the flowers, Cordelia said reflectively, what luxury. He nodded. I heard that Miles is back from Kamar. I'll have the chance to see him in the morning. That's good. She smiled. Yes, he'll be happy to see you. A companionable silence settled on them both. Cordelia leaned against him, enjoying the feeling of weight and warmth at her back. The stars are bright, she said after a while. It's not often I get the chance to just sit. Just to sit up and look. He nodded. Not often that I do, either. Cordelia smiled. You know, I was reading Gregor's prospective mother-in-law's doctoral thesis. Cordelia, he interrupted gently, looking at her. I presume that at some point you're going to explain how you came to be reading Gregor's prospective mother-in-law's doctoral thesis? Cordelia considered. It's a long story. There's a shorter version, though. Let's have that for now. I was curious. He grinned. That'll do. When she was silent. So, you were reading this doctoral thesis. It's about history, Cordelia said, still thoughtful. About early Barayarn history, about the colony ship, Kamal. Did you know that there's a school of thought that says that that wasn't the ship's name? He stirred. No, I didn't know that. Some academics argue that it wasn't the name of the ship. It was actually the name of the pilot, and the two have been confused with time. Kamal. Kamal. You can see how it might happen. Errol nodded. Yes. And then I was thinking about her. Kamal, I mean. The jump pilot, if that was her name. I was thinking about how she must have felt when the colony ship was getting ready to leave with 50,000 people on board and just one pilot. How she must have felt bearing that responsibility for everyone, for a whole world. It all depended on her. What a weight it must have been, and what a joy. Errol looked down at her with softness in his eyes. Would you like some more champagne, my captain? He asked. Or would you like me to carry you home? I don't need to be carried, Cordelia said definitively. Of course not, Errol said. What would you like? I think I would like to dance, Cordelia said. For a while, and then we can go home. Home, he echoed, and lifted her to her feet. They went in together, arm in arm, past Simon and Alice, Gregor and Lyssa, and she leaned against him as they danced slowly, her head on his shoulder, his hand on her hip, in a circle around the floor.